Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Cherries and apples have been an integral part of Wisconsin's Door County Peninsula for more than 150 years. At one time, Door County was the country's largest producer of cherries, with an annual harvest of more than 50 million pounds, and the realm eventually became known fondly as Cherryland. Cherries are still king in the county, and you'll have no problem finding cherry pie, cherry wine, cherry juice, dried cherries, cherry French toast for breakfast, and bushel loads to munch fresh off the tree. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me in Door County for an exploration of everything cherry, as well as fresh apples. We'll start our visit at the Door County Historical Museum in downtown Sturgeon Bay, where we'll join assistant curator Ginny Hain. And then it's off to Sequist Orchards for a visit with 80-something Dale Sequist, whose family has been producing sweet and tart cherries for close to 150 years, not long after his grandfather emigrated from Sweden. Sequist Farms is a family-run operation, and at present, the little sixth generation is being groomed to eventually take their turn at the helm. And then it's off to visit with apple grower Steve Wood at his family-run Wood Orchard Market in Egg Harbor. And a visit to Cherryland would not be complete without a mandatory stop for breakfast at the iconic Wilson's Restaurant and Ice Cream Parlor in Ephraim, Wisconsin, where Sequist Orchards fresh cherries are a house specialty.
I'm Ginny Hain. I'm one of the assistant curators at the Door County Historical Museum in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin.
One of the cool draws of your historical museum has to do with cherries and apples.
That's true. It's an industry that's been here for a long time. An early settler, Joseph Zettel, a Swiss settler, came and discovered that Door County was very good for growing apples and cherries. The climate is very good because we're surrounded by water, which moderates it. The bedrock is not too far from the surface, which makes the soil just right for the cherries and apples.
At one point in time, this was called Cherryland, USA.
Cherryland, USA. We used to produce the most cherries.
Anywhere in America.
Anywhere in America, as far as I know. Since then, it's been expanded. I think Michigan has surpassed us.
You're still one of the top contenders, yes, a major producer.
Yes, we are, and I think they're starting to revive that somewhat, too. For a long time, the bigger orchards were broken up into smaller parcels, but now some of them are growing again, and people are reviving that industry.
Today, what is the cherry market? Is it for pie makers, or what do they primarily use the local cherries for?
They use them for pies. That we have the tart cherries, which is what you use for pies rather than the sweet cherries, but they've also developed a new industry, dried cherries, which have gotten very big, and you can buy those most anywhere, but we have a local factory here for them.
Even though they're distributed around the country, around the world, you can get them locally.
You can get them locally. Right now, there's a lot of people picking your own. That's a very popular thing to do, but you can buy them in the grocery stores any time of the year, frozen in the freezer case.
And so even though your cherries, what you do best, are tart cherries for pies, I see people eating them raw and fresh all the time. So they're obviously...
That's a matter of opinion, I guess. Everybody doesn't like the sweet tart cherries, but if you pick them off the trees when the sun's shining on them, they're excellent.
What are some of the other neat things that somebody would see here at the museum?
Our museum was started in 1939, and we still have some of the original things in here, the original stained glass windows in the front. They were here in 1939. They represent the four areas of things in Door County at that time, the sailing, the logging, the fishing, and the Native Americans that were here.
So a lot of the original settlers in this area, as I recall, were Scandinavian and German.
But there were also many of the Yankees who went west and settled here.
Post-Civil War.
Yes.
Tell us about the early days here. It was a different...
I don't remember that time.
Well, you read about it. It was a different world, wasn't it? Because it was really, as you alluded to, it was where water and boats were the main means of communication and travel.
Water and boats were the main way of travel. The Door County was settled from the top down, from the north to the south, which doesn't seem logical to us at the present time with our highways, but at that time there were no highways. So people came through the Great Lakes, St. Lawrence Seaway, and came down through Rock Island, Washington Island, which were settled first, then Door County.
So tell us about some of the other things. If I were coming here for the very first time, why should I come to the museum? What are some of the cool, not-to-be-missed things that you'd want me to see?
Depends on your age. If you were a child, you probably
want
to see.
I'm an old child.
You're an old child. There are three fire trucks and a jail cell that you might want to play in. If you're older, or even the kids too, we've got a wonderful wildlife diorama that was done by a local taxidermist with well over 100 species of birds and animals in it at this point, and that's an amazing thing to see.
You're in Sturgeon Bay. Whereabouts are you located? I saw the City Hall right across the street.
The City Hall's across the street, where our address is 18 North 4th Avenue, right downtown.
Do you have a website if somebody wanted to find out more?
DarkCountyHistoricalMuseum.com.
Ginny Hayne, thank you so much for sharing. This has been a great morning.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed visiting with you.
It's in the heat of cherry harvest time in Door County, Wisconsin. We're out in the fields with Dale Sequist at Sequist Orchards as his mechanical harvesters bring in tote full of cherries every minute and a half.
If you're going to follow that machine now, walking along there, you're going to have to walk pretty fast to keep up to it. The forklift here, it travels on airbags so that it gives a very smooth ride to the cherries. It doesn't bounce the cherries hard. Last year, I was timing the guys, and it was averaging about 1 minute and 20 seconds for each tank. 1,100 pounds of cherries go into that tank. And from the three machines working, a tank was coming out of the orchard every minute and 20 seconds. I built the first machine that encircled the tree so that cherries could be harvested. Back in those days, that's 45, 50 years ago, you know. We'd reach up into the tree with another tractor with a boom on it that would shake individual limbs. But now we train the trees to come up higher, so we got a trunk that's visible, and we grab the trunk and shake the whole tree at one time.
Dale Sequist, and I grew up right here at this area. I've been here all my life, 80-some years, except for being away at school and being in the Army and so on, and running around the country playing my trumpet for Uncle Sam.
Uh-huh. You're in an Army band?
Yeah, I was in the Army band. One thing that was sort of interesting, we got to play a trumpet on Ed Sullivan's show.
Really?
Yeah. And we had a half-hour program on WFIL-TV Philadelphia for a while, too. And there was 14 of us that had a little male chorus that sang stuff. You know, it's an interesting time, but I was glad to get back here.
So tell us about your family roots here.
My grandfather came here from Sweden, and near Stockholm he lived, and he was what they call a fina snickare. He's a fine carpenter. And he had been away at a neighboring village over in Sweden getting the measurements for some cabinets he was going to build. And while he was away, the town sheriff and the local pastor in the church there came and forcibly baptized his children.
Wow.
While he was away. And then they sent him a bill for their services too, you know. And as far as he was concerned, that was the last straw. He felt that those kinds of decisions was something that a person should be free to decide himself, mm-hmm. and not the dictates of the hierarchy.
So what
and
year did
so
he
So he came that? Over here about 150 years ago, and he left Sweden then. He came here, and he was a woodworker over in a lumber mill in Marinette, Menominee area, across the lake here. He saved every penny he could for a couple of years, and then he sent for his wife and two boys. They came over here, and they somehow or another, he got a hold of a small sailboat. They sailed the family across from Marinette over to Ephraim. He homesteaded a parcel of ground there, and to make a long story short, he planted some apple trees, and that was really sort of the beginning of the fruit industry up here. He was one of the early ones. And a few years later, some people, I suppose about 130 years ago now, some people down near Sturgeon Bay planted some cherry trees, and Grandpa heard about those trees, and he made the 3-day trip from here down to Sturgeon Bay to see those trees, and came back all enthused about the possibility of raising cherries up here in northern Door County. So he ordered 700 trees. He paid 6 cents a piece for them. Unbelievable, you know. 6 cents a piece for a grafted tree. I mean, we just laugh about it now. He planted those trees, and pretty soon he had more fruit than he knew what to do with. He didn't have any marketing plan. There wasn't any people around here. There weren't any decent roads to get the fruit out of here. But he did have a fish boat, and he'd load up that boat with his fruit, took it up to Escanaba, over to Marinette, Menominee, down to Sturgeon Bay. And that's the way he got rid of his fruit initially. My dad, as a young man, drove that boat, captained that boat, and hauled that fruit.
Imagine then in the day when he got there, then he has a boatload of fruit, and he has to run ashore and find people to buy it. What a amazing.
Well, at any rate, my dad planted his first orchard in 1912, I believe. And I was the baby in my dad's family and came along and I planted my first orchard in 1948. Back in those days, we had cattle at the same time as we had fruit. But as I gradually got in control of the fruit growing here, I got rid of the cattle and we majored on fruit, mostly cherries. I got some apples too and some other fruit, but mostly cherries. And now my son is our general manager of our place here. I'm fourth generation and my son is fifth generation. And we've got a couple of grandsons, my son's sons, and that are married and have their families here. And each one has got a couple kids and they live right here near where we're sitting right this morning. And they're involved in it. So we're into the sixth generation here, which is really, I feel, really a blessing from God. You know, most farm families, as the family develops and the kids get to the age where they decide what they're going to do, they get as far away from the farm as they can. And in my situation, kids have been interested in what we're doing here and have been willing to get involved. And that kind of blessing isn't something you can generate. That's, I attribute it to God's blessing.
It's out of your control.
It's out of my control, and I feel very, very fortunate. I really feel very, very fortunate.
Today, you are one of the larger cherry producers in the whole peninsula?
Actually, I think we produce about 65 or 70% of the cherries grown in Wisconsin on our farm. We've got, I think it's 54 or 55 different blocks of orchard scattered all over Door County. I tell people if they go by a real nice orchard, it's ours. And if it looks sort of scraggly, it might not be ours, but be truthful, a person that's in the fruit growing business, you've got orchards in all conditions. Got young ones that are just getting started and you've got old ones that should be taken out. I think we do a pretty good job in rotating the orchards. An orchard when it's 25 years old is probably over the hump and should be think about getting rid of it and replanting. But we like to take out the trees and leave the land open for a couple of years and maybe plant something that'll help to eliminate some of the nematodes in the soil. And then we've got parcels of ground where we've had three generations of trees in. And so, and the trees right now are doing well, and I guess.
To growing, you have right inside here is a country store. What's inside of the building?
What's inside the store? Well, we pretty closely follow the fruit season. In the spring, we have fruits that are grown in the area here. We don't grow many raspberries and strawberries ourselves, but we get those from our neighbors here. And then we get into the cherries and a little bit later the apples. And so what we have in the store rotates somewhat with what's being produced in the orchard. But we've got a lot of products right now, a lot of cherry products in here.
Preserves and canned items.
We have jellies and jams and pie filling and salsas and all kinds of things like that. We actually, in our production building here, we make about 70, some over 70 different products there, which is really quite surprising. And there are so many different combinations of pie and combinations of cookies and all kinds of stuff like that. We got a bakery here that is managed by one of my daughters, and she does a good job in making different kinds of cakes and pies and stuff.
So fresh
donuts and on and on.
So people come in for the fresh baked goods.
Yeah, people come in for the fresh baked goods. They come in just to walk around and eat samples. We got about, I think, about 60 or so different samples in the market right now that people can taste. People enjoy that.
And the name of your market is called?
Sequoia Farm Market. It's actually Sequoia Orchards Farm Market.
And at the town it's located in?
We're just between Sister Bay and Ellison Bay. Our address is Sister Bay, but we're about halfway between Sister Bay and Ellison Bay on the highway.
Do you have a website?
Sure, we got a website. There's lots of ways to get a hold of us and get in contact with us and pick up all kinds of information in the market about that kind of stuff.
Okay, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for coming. We appreciate visitors like you stopping in here.
Well, it's my pleasure. We're here with Steve Wood.
Yes, Steve Wood. I am an apple grower with my family in Door County, Wisconsin.
Your family goes way back with apple growing, doesn't it?
Yes, my mother and dad started growing apples in the county in 1955.
Things have evolved in the world of apples, haven't they?
Oh, they sure have.
What did they start with?
Primarily, they were growing McIntosh and Cortland and Red Delicious. Red Delicious is a very difficult apple to grow and sell anymore. So many new varieties have come along. And McIntosh and Cortlands are what we would call a commodity fruit now. And people in the grocery stores are looking for new varieties all the time, new tastes. And so our new varieties that we can grow in Door County are Honeycrisp and Sweet Tango. Those are the two new in vogue apples at the moment for us.
And is this a fresh market-driven apple world that you're in? Or
it is a fresh market-driven apple. There still are people growing for processing, but for us it's market-driven. And in the world of wholesale buyers, there have been tremendous consolidations and mergers, and the big boys have gotten really big, but they are always looking for the new item to put in their stores to attract customers.
But you're not trying to work your way into Walmart or be a national processor anyway, right?
Well, we do wholesale apples. We have we have our wholesale packing line and storage here in Door County, and we do sell to Walmart.
So you are able to step up to the big market?
Yes, with baby steps. We step up with baby steps to the big boys. We do it in cooperation with a Michigan retailer and wholesaler, and he's the one that makes the initial contact with Walmart, and then we work our way in with his permission. So,
but right now, we're at a classic country market, the Wood Orchard Market
Wood Orchard County. Mm-hmm.
And it's just alive with people from the community that are shopping.
Yes, a lot of people from Door County shop here, but I think probably 75% of our clientele are visitors to Door County. They're coming from Chicagoland, Milwaukee, Madison.
So they're here on holiday.
They are.
And so this is a not-to-be-missed part of their experience, is to come home with some local produce.
We like it when we hear people say that we are their first stop and their last stop when they're visiting Door County. That makes us feel like we're moving in the right direction as far as customer service and offerings that we sell the people.
So right now it's cherry harvest time in Door County. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that world.
Most of the cherries that are grown in Door County are the Montmorency variety. They are commercially harvested, about 90% of them, and they are shaken, physically shake the tree, catch the cherries in a catching frame, and elevate it into cold water and then to a cherry factory for processing. What we sell here are all hand-picked. They are picked with less bruises and easily sold for cherries that you would buy pie fillings, wilderness pie fillings, for instance, would be made with Montmorency cherries and possibly Door County cherries. Michigan is the big player in the tart cherry game, but there's also New York, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin as well, and some western states.
But your classic cherries, I notice people eating them raw. They're not waiting to put them in a pie.
Nope. And a lot of people like the tart cherry taste. It's what the county has made its name in cherries for 100 years.
And people make cherry juice and cherry wine. Understand.
Yep, there's lots of wine making going on now with cherries and juice making and making jams and jellies and pies.
Back to your world of apples. When is the classic harvest time?
September and October. then those actually are our two busiest months in the market. July is busy with cherry harvest, but it's also really busy in September and October.
Okay, so it rolls right from cherries right into apples.
Right into apples, yep.
You get no rest till Christmas time.
If we're ready to rest at Christmas time, well, we take a day off, yes.
Tell us real briefly about your growing practices. As we all know, sustainable, organic, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. all these yep. different shifts in how you grow and market.
We are not organic growers, and pest control for both organic growers and conventional growers is important. Nobody likes to buy a cherry with a worm in it or an apple with a worm in it. So pest control is really important, and we rely on a variety of methods to control our pests. And I think the broad term for our practices would be IPM, Integrated Pest Management.
Do you have any beneficial insects that you introduce?
Not that we introduce, but we try to take care of the wild beneficial insects that are in the orchard. We try not to disrupt their life cycle so that they are there to eat the damaging insects, the bad ones. We like the good ones, and we like them to survive to eat some of the bad ones that we have. We also trap the insects so we know when they are susceptible, when they're there, when the population is high enough to control. We also continue to look for varieties that are resistant to some diseases. Honeycrisp is a prime example. It is not nearly as susceptible to apple scab as Macintosh is, for instance. So,
are birds a nemesis for you?
In cherries, they are, but in most cases, the cherry blocks from growers around the county are big enough that unless it's a huge flock of birds that moves in, you know, the birds feed on them and they don't even, you just can't do anything about them, so you just don't lose sleep at night over it. If you have a backyard tree, one tree, then they can be pretty devastating. So,
anything else that you want to add that you're most proud of about apples and cherries and your world of wood orchard market?
Well, I'm really proud to be able to work with my family, my wife and my son and myself. Since my mother and dad are gone now, it's really a joy to be able to continue the family tradition. I needed about three more kids, and my one son is not able to do everything that I ask him to do sometimes. But
I think that's the reason why there were cheaper by the dozen families
back
right? in the day.
Because of the farming, yes.
Yeah, you needed them.
Yes. Of anything, that's I'm the most proud of that. We have a really nice community, an agricultural community in Door County. Lots of farm markets around, and we do a lot of business with the other farm markets. It's a very friendly competition in most cases, and it has worked very nice for all of us. And
your parking lot is right off a main arterial for somebody coming to visit Door County.
It is. There are two highways in Door County, Highway 42 that runs right by us, and Highway 57 that runs up along Lake Michigan, and we're right off of Highway 42.
Not far from the lake.
And not far from the water, right? The water closest to us is the Bay of Green Bay.
Ah, there you go.
And Lake Michigan, then, is on the east side of the peninsula.
But if you kept going up the bay, you'd be in the lake.
That's right.
Steve Wood, thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm ready to dig into some cherries.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
Now it's time to stop in at Wilson's Restaurant and Ice Cream Parlor for lunch, and I'm going to be sure to order the cherry ice cream.
We make our own root beer, which is served in a frosted mug, so that's kind of a must-have while you're here. We're all about cherries right now, right? Well, we have brand new this year, which we are super excited about, a Door County cherry ice cream. People are always asking us, and we finally made it happen. So it's a cherry-flavored ice cream. It has a cherry swirl and then the whole cherries in there. And, of course, all the cherries are from Sequist because you wouldn't get them anywhere else. So you definitely have to try that. We also make fun things like ice cream sodas. So if you might want to try a cherry ice cream soda, you know, things that you can't always get other places. And we always say it's kind of fun here because we get definitely generations of people coming in, and they really feel like Rob said, it's kind of taking a step back in time, or for some of them, a trip down memory lane. So it's fun to see grandparents come in and talk about when they sat here in the 50s with their grandchildren, or see the jukebox, which plays 45s most days. Knock on wood. Yeah, things like that are getting harder and harder to fix. But we're going the right direction today, so that's good. Kind of classic burgers, sandwiches, salads. You definitely can't go wrong. We have a Door County whitefish sandwich, which is very good. The taco salad's one of my favorites. The Reuben's also good. And like I said, we have plenty of cherry stuff, so we'll get you all hooked up in the cherry department. You have two lovely ladies taking care of you today, McKenna and Alex, and you will be in good hands there. They have some cheese curds on the way, so if you haven't had the privilege of having deep-fried Door County cheese curds, real treat. So, and definitely Door County cherry ice cream. Enjoy your lunch.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,